For giving me the floor. I would like to really to thank the representative from the European Union for your insightful commentary, a presentation on the very good work that you are doing in this regard. And I was also very glad to hear near the end of it the work that you are doing with regards to states who do not want to collect this aggregated data, which needless to say, as we always say, if you don't count the issues, then you don't count. Do you use third party also outside NGOs and others who actually have quite effective and accurate data in spite of the fact that the states within which they function do not believe in collecting disaggregated data according to race? There are third-party NGOs out there that are quite accurate data, et cetera, especially regarding people in prisons and the et cetera, the number of people from different ethnic and groups. Do you use those as well, especially from these states who do not collect or do not believe in collecting such data? And we also encourage, because we work a lot on this over the last few years here in this room and other places with our colleagues here, to encourage to see how fast the EU is moving forward in actually bringing in legislation towards combating discrimination or racial discrimination. And that we would like also that this kind of good practices and legal practices and in way how you are moving forward are also brought into this forum, as well as others like the Ad Hoc Committee on the Elaboration of ICERT. Because as you are working and your laws are finding the gaps in your already existing laws, and you are using the broader, as I understand, the broader framework of IFRAM and ICERT, and you interpret them to create these laws, not all states do that. Not all groups do that. So as you interpret these things and you make it clearer to be able to formulate laws accurately and prosecute or implement them, these are the exact type of elaboration that we need to fill in the gaps where people can still do what they are doing, especially with regards to systemic and structural racism in companies and in states. Because one forgets, it's not states that is really the big culprit often in systemic racism, but it's actually private companies who are the ones doing it mostly, because your life mostly is where you work and where you go to school and all those things, not just how you interact with state operators. So that is one question. And thank you also for Pastor Murillo on this quick brief on your on the forum, the new body that we will look at the documents next week. As I also scanned through it from South Africa's view, and as we say, we are working on this, you made some comments. One of them is the issue, of course, on reparations, which is always a difficult one because, as you might be aware, last week at the adoption of the resolution that the Africa Group put forward on anti-racism from rhetoric to reality, there's also paragraphs where we requested that states find ways to deal with, we encourage states to actually find ways to deal with this issue of reparations for ills of the past. However, we were rather discouraged when a very powerful colonial power bluntly stated the reason for voting against the resolution, and I quote, "We do not agree with the claims that made in this resolution that states are required to make reparations for the slave trade and colonialism, which caused great suffering to many people, but were not, at the time, violations of international law. Moreover, these claims divert focus from the pressing challenges of tackling contemporary forms of racism globally and inequality, which are global challenges affecting all regions." So, and I stopped the quote there. This is the main issue we are having, is when we are talking this and we have to bring it in your document, certain people have to do it who actually believe there is no reparations paid because it was illegal, it was legal to do what they did. It shocked us when we heard that. But this is the thing where we have to, how do we go around that? And then the issue of collective rights of groups, as we all know in this council, they always talk about the human rights are individual. And another colonial power, of course, stated they do not recognize such groups. It's individual and clearly stated. They do not see why a specific groups, meaning now in brackets, Africans and people of African descent, are lifted out for special rights treatments. So these are issues that we are having, and these are the two major colonial powers we are talking about. So the issue of reparation in this document we will have to deal with, and it has always been the case. The question is, it's not going to be an easy road to get consensus on such a document if your two major powers are the ones strongly opposing specifically that issue. I thank you.